Thanks for tuning in to the Drive On podcast, where we're focused on giving hope and strength to the entire military community. Whether you're a veteran, active duty, guard, reserve, or a family member, this podcast will share inspirational stories and resources that are useful to you. I'm your host, Scott DeLucio, and now let's get on with the show. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Drive On podcast. Today, my guest is Greg Fisher. Greg is a Marine combat veteran who currently runs Burn Pit Barbecue, which was created to give new grillers and barbecuers a resource and place to go to learn the basics about grilling and barbecuing. So welcome to the show, Greg. I'm glad to have you on.
Hey, thanks, Scott. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. So for any of the listeners who might be out there who aren't familiar with you and your background, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and who you are?
Yeah, no, I appreciate the opportunity to be on here. For me, my name is Greg Fisher. I'm the co-founder of Burn Pit BBQ. I spent 4 years in the Marine Corps from 2002 to 2006. And then once I got out of the Marine Corps, I went, got my degree, worked in the corporate world for about 10 years. But then in August of 2020, I decided that I wanted to pursue my own passions. And that's when we launched Burn Pit BBQ.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I love seeing the entrepreneurial spirit coming out of the veterans and all the stuff that they are coming up with, the creativity and everything, and following their passions. But let's take a step back maybe a little bit and just talk a bit about your time in the Marines. Like what did you do in the Marines? Yeah. You deployed, right? You deployed during your time in the Marines, where you went to and what all that was like. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I was a senior in high school when September 11th happened, and that really kind of solidified my path after high school. I joined the Marine Corps, and then shortly after I joined, 2003, we found ourselves in Kuwait, getting ready to invade Iraq. So I was there for the invasion up through Baghdad, and then I made two more deployments after that to the western portions of Iraq and Al Kaim in the Anbar province.
And those deployments, especially in such a short period of time. So that's what, three deployments? And you said you were in the Marines for 4 years. So that's
that's
a lot of time overseas in that short amount of time. How was that for you?
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of what we signed up for, right? It takes its toll. I was fortunate to be with a really great unit, 1st Battalion, 7th Marines, where a lot of the times, infantry battalion. So we did a lot of training. We had a lot of great leaders that helped lead us through some of those deployments. And ultimately, my 4 year mark, I had made the decision, hey, maybe my luck's run out just a little bit and it's time to move on to something else. Right. So I decided at that point, I wasn't going to kind of press it any further. And I decided to come back home to Wisconsin.
Yeah. And that's, I think a lot of people who especially have deployed at least once, if not multiple times, like yourself, right. They probably come into that same kind of conclusion. Like, yeah, I'm probably pushing my luck here. If I keep rolling this dice or, playing the Russian roulette, eventually that gun's going off. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And, on the horizon, there wasn't really much else that I felt like I needed to do in the Marine Corps. I knew that there were some other passions outside that I wanted to pursue. So that helped with my decision.
So what was your transition out of the Marine Corps like? You mentioned you went to college. That was after the Marines, correct?
Yeah. So I decided to get out after my 4 year mark, and then I found a 4 year university here back home, and I enrolled, and thankfully they took me in. But so the transition was it was pretty immediate. Like I didn't take much time to reflect or decompress on my time in the Marine Corps. I really had another mission that I wanted to accomplish, which was to get my degree. So I could say that a big part of my transition and some of the success that I had early on was because I had a strong family support system back home, support system from my friends that helped get me to kind of reacclimate back to civilian world.
So after you got out, you started college, what was your first civilian job like after getting out?
Yeah. Well, just like most, I went through the TAPS classes on bass before I left, and I just went through that book that they gave you. And there were a few organizations in there that I was familiar with. So when I got back home, I reached out to them. So I will say I'll probably fall into that category of veterans that are underemployed right away when they get out. I was working in a warehouse, maybe making $8 an hour. I went through that process too of kind of trying to, again, establish who I was and determine what my value is. And that's a process that I think a lot of people go through. And I made some of those early on mistakes of, undervaluing my experience and my time. So I try to, when I speak with other veterans, student veterans, transitioning veterans, to bring some of that personal experience to make sure that they don't make the same mistake.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people who are coming out of the military, they do undervalue their experience in the military. Mm-hmm. Especially, someone who was in a military job that doesn't necessarily 100% correlate to a civilian job, like an infantryman or artillery or something like that. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, I was just a dumb grunt. And so, what do I really have to offer to corporate America or whatever? Right. So, but that's not true. It's just that inner voice that they're telling themselves, oh, I was just a grunt. Yeah. And so, what am I going to do in the civilian world? Right. So,
it's all about telling your story. So it took me years to be able to actually hone in what my story was when I was in the Marine Corps. If anybody's in a leadership position, they're in charge of millions of dollars worth of assets of, equipment and things like that. And being able to articulate that on a resume, it takes time, it takes experience. So, us veterans, now that we've been out and we've been doing that for a while, we can give back and say, hey, let's help you tell that story. So, these employers, know the value that you bring to that organization.
Yeah. And while it may not necessarily be 100% relevant to a civilian job, but, in every case, but you may not be in charge of millions of dollars of assets, but still you're, on the civilian side anyways, but still it's showing that you have that ability and you've been responsible for that kind of stuff. And not only the dollar amount of the assets, but the human lives that you are in charge of as a leader in the Marines or Army, Navy, whatever. You're in charge of people. In most cases, you have somebody that you're going to be in charge of. Unless you're just fresh out of boot camp and you're basically responsible for yourself, right? But but you even still, fresh out of boot camp, you're still responsible for your equipment and your own personal accountability and stuff. So there is some level of responsibility there that just some kid out of high school who has never worked a day in his life is going to have on top of, you're going to have on top of those people, right?
Yeah. Leadership, is the core of the military. So even when you get out, like at age 23, I had multiple deployments. I was leading squads and teams ever since I was 19. So there's a level of accountability. There's a level of leadership development that I've had at a very young age. So I understand when you get out and then you start at the bottom again with people that maybe just went to school and maybe just haven't really had much, experience, world experience like you have. That can be difficult for some veterans.
Yeah. And going to college, whenever I hear about people who go to college after serving in the military, I always think of like the Billy Madison movie, where you got this this old guy sitting in class and I'm sure there was some of that feeling going on too. It's like, oh, I'm the grumpy old vet who's in class with all these young kids, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, you're showing up to class 10 minutes early and you got, some kids, just waking up and they got their pajamas on and they're not prepared for class. It drives you crazy a little bit. But then again, looking back, I give them some, some leeway, they're still learning. They're still growing. But yeah, I definitely felt some of that, my early years in college, kind of looking around my classmates and be like, oh man, I feel so out of place.
Yeah, exactly. And, I know when I went to college, so mine was a little bit backwards from you, but I was in college when 9/11 happened and I joined the military after college. So, So we had a few of those veterans who were coming through, and so I was one of those dumb kids who was going through, and and I could see the look. There's this one guy, I could still see the look on his face all these years later, and he was always early to class, like you said. He was always sitting up in the front of the classroom. He was ready, he was prepared, he wanted to learn. And then when one of us dumbass kids were, you know, screwing around, or we weren't prepared or whatever, the look on his face was like he was just looking straight through your soul. Like he just hated it, right? It's just funny that the difference in the maturity levels from someone who's been in the military. And it quite frankly, it's probably better the way you and a lot of other people have gone through it, is because you've already have that experience where you've grown up a bit, and you're maybe even better off because you're taking it a little bit more seriously. Right.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, I wasn't, you know, coming out of high school, I wasn't a stellar, student. I was, C's across the board, but I graduated. And, when I came back after, that 4 years in the military, they established, they instill discipline into you. They, a sense of mission and accomplishment. So when I got out of and I went back to school, I was mission driven. I had just like this vision for me. Like I wanted to graduate, and I knew what I needed to do to get there. So, school actually ended up being a lot easier after that Marine Corps experience, just because, when you've been to war and you've been overseas since you're essentially 18, going to class for an hour and getting some homework done, it's pretty easy.
Well, yeah, exactly. That's something I hadn't even thought of either, but I can remember all the times in college when I was sitting around stressing about an exam or trying to crunch at the last minute, trying to finish up this homework or an essay or whatever. And to me, that was like the world was crashing down on me, because it was like, it was such a hard thing. Right. But when you have that perspective of combat, it's kind of like, well, I mean, it's really not the end of the world. It definitely could be. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. What advice would you give to other veterans who go to college after serving?
That's a great question. And I actually got that question. I was talking to some student veterans last week, and this would be the advice I would give myself, because I was so driven once I got out of the Marine Corps that I didn't really take time to myself to decompress and really understand fully what I just been through. 4 years of almost continual combat or preparing for combat, it takes a toll on your body and your mind. So I would just tell myself and other student veterans that I talk to is, slow down a little bit, enjoy the moment that you're in, because it does get a little bit harder after you graduate. Take that time to really kind of explore and try new things and meet new people. That's usually what I tell veterans, student vets. And, that would be the advice that I give myself, because ultimately I graduated with my 4-year degree in 3.5 years. I was motivated. But if I could go back, I'd probably extend that just a little bit, just so I could have some more opportunities to try some different things.
Yeah, that makes sense too, because, part of the college experience is getting to know other people, some of your classmates and your peers there. And while you may not be on the peer level as far as age range goes, right? Yeah. Because you're a little bit older at that point. Actually, quite frankly, you weren't that much older than some of these people, because you're in the Marines for 4 years. So maybe a 4-year difference with your peers. Mm-hmm. So that's not a huge, incredible difference, but at least, if you get to know some of these people, that could provide for some networking opportunities and things like that down the line, which, just helps out in your career path as you go forward. Right.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. And my business partner, we met at college, and he's 4 years younger than me. It's exactly right. I mean, GPA is great, but, in my 10 years in the corporate world, my GPA never came up. But it was those connections that I developed, in college, in my corporate career, that continued to really provide opportunities for me as I continue to progress. So yeah, you're right. It's your networks that's really going to kind of pay the most dividends for you. And the faster and sooner you can establish those relationships, whether that's in college or whether that's in other areas outside of the military, I think the better.
Yeah, for sure. And so after college, you mentioned, you know, working in corporate America. What were you doing after college?
Yeah, I found my way into a financial and insurance institution here in Milwaukee. I started building my career there. So essentially, I graduated college and I went to work for this organization. And that's where I worked until I quit, you know, 2 years ago. So I spent a decade, you know, building my career within that organization, moving around a little bit to try different roles. I kind of ran the gamut of, you know, being an individual contributor within that corporation to being a people leader and leading teams to ultimately helping develop other leaders as well. So I have some unique perspectives on a few different areas within that kind of corporate environment.
It's probably a good experience too, because it gave you the sense of, you know, how things work in the Marines and in the mm-hmm. military in general, but also how things work in the civilian world in corporate America. Yeah. And how there's a definite difference there, but mm. you know, while there are some correlations and some similarities, mm. there are definitely different, but so it's probably mm. a good thing that you were able to have that experience and kind of learn about how the corporate world works, right?
Mm. I credit a lot of my early leaders preparing me, because again, you know, I was still only about 4 years out of the Marine Corps. I was still highly motivated. You know, the corporate world worked a little bit differently. Some places, depending on where you go, maybe it doesn't, you know, move as fast as you would like it to move. Yeah. It allowed me the opportunity to kind of develop new skills, develop my style of leadership within that setting, and then meet new people and engage with different things. I've tried a lot of different things out. Met a lot of different people. For me, I needed to continue to grow and move around. And that organization allowed me to do that with inside that, those four walls. So that was good.
Yeah. And you're right. A lot of times in the corporate world, things just don't move very fast. That's something that you just mentioned there. And I noticed that from my own experience as I started working after my time in the military. The jobs that I was having, it just seemed like everything was going as like slow as molasses. And it was like,
yeah,
it was such a hard thing for me to just wrap my head around. It's like, well yeah. we know what needs to get done. Let's just do it. You know, but it's like, oh, there's yeah. these approvals and we got to get buy-in yeah. from these other people and all this stuff. And to me, that was just like a lot of wasted time and effort. And it just drove me crazy. So I think that's ultimately what ended up sending me into the entrepreneur route and getting out of there. So I can just move on my own pace. Right.
You have to kind of maybe ask for forgiveness instead of permission in those situations, which, yeah, you know, I'll be honest, I did that a few times. So, you know, sometimes you got burned, sometimes it worked out well, but I think, you know, again, for, you know, people getting out of the military, we have a sense of not being afraid to take action and make decisions mm-hmm. on the fly and kind of sorting out as we go, or maybe some other types of, you know, leaders that come from traditional paths of the corporate environment or, you know, school. There's more of a consensus building. Veterans aren't afraid to take risks. So I felt like working with other veterans, you know, we usually got things accomplished fast because we're all going at the same pace and we all understood, hey, if this doesn't work out, we'll pivot and we'll make it work. Where sometimes when you're working with teams with maybe not other veterans, they're not as willing to take that risk. So it might move a little bit slower.
Yeah, no, for sure. And you mentioned earlier you're doing some talking with other like student veterans and things like that. Mm-hmm. Is that something that you've been doing, like, you know, talking with the veteran community with different things, you know, throughout your time after the Marine Corps? Is that kind of part of your thing too?
Yeah. So part of my personal mission is to continue to give back to the military and veteran community. So I speak at a number of events. I've been closely tied with some universities here in Wisconsin to talk to student veterans. And then also some other veteran organizations to speak about kind of my experiences overseas. But also our mission at Burn Pit BBQ is to continue to give back a portion of our sales to local veteran and military nonprofits and organizations to continue to build that community here. So yeah, I mean, I've gotten out of, I've done a number of events, but yeah, my passion is to continue to focus on some of those transitioning service members to, again, just share my experiences now that I've been through a number of different transitions post-military. To make sure that, you know, maybe they don't make the same mistakes or they accelerate as at a faster pace than I did when I was in that position.
Yeah. And that's one thing that I've noticed with veterans who've been there, done that in terms of their transition or their careers or things like that. You know, even older veterans who are, you know, Vietnam era, Korea era veterans, right? They have been through all of the same stuff. They came home, they deployed, then they came home and they got out of the military. They started a job, started their family, started all that stuff. Right. And I mean, their path wasn't a whole lot different from, you know, post 9/11 veterans. Yeah. I mean, granted, we have probably a lot more resources available to us now than they did. But that just means that they were able to figure this stuff out back then without having the benefit of that, those resources around for them.
Yeah.
But they are also very much willing to share their knowledge and their experiences with these younger veterans to help them accelerate through their process, the transition or the career, whatever, at a much faster rate. And I've talked to people too, who will think of organizations like the American Legion or the VFW or something like an old man's drinking club kind of thing. Right. but it's like those older guys are the ones that you want to
pave the way,
listen to you want to listen. Yeah. They've already been there, you know, let them guide you. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, there's most definitely when I first got out and I was getting established at our local VA hospital, I teamed up with our American Legion here. So those legacy organizations played a huge part in my transition. So I know they're still out there, you know, like you said, the American Legion, VFW, you know, DAV, a lot of those legacy organizations are still doing great things. And that's a testament to the veterans that came before me, you know, the Vietnam era, you know, the Desert Storm era, who, like you said, we didn't have nearly the amount of resources or the support, you know, coming back from those, you know, especially Vietnam veterans coming back from those theaters. So yeah, I mean, I definitely look to them with a lot of respect and admiration for the things that they've done for us future veterans. And I try and just to continue to give back in any way I can to continue on that legacy that they started.
Yeah, there's one guy I talked to, a Vietnam veteran, and I can't remember his name off the top of my head right now, but he was talking about how, you know, when they came back from overseas, they were getting spit on, they were getting called names, they were getting, you know, all this stuff. And, you know, he's been working to help the younger veterans throughout all these years, because he didn't want that for them. He didn't want guys coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan and coming back from all these deployments and being treated like garbage, right? He wanted to make sure that they're treated with the respect that they deserve. And, you know, for people like him and so many others, you know, the tide has definitely turned and we've gotten much better, with that as a society. Right. But, you know, I can only imagine what it would have been like to be overseas and fighting for your life, for your friend's life, and then coming back home and just getting smacked in the face for it. Right.
Yeah. Regardless of politics, I mean, we sign up to serve our country, and you know, ultimately, we don't make those decisions on where we go to fight, but we just pick up our stuff and go. So yeah, I think it has gotten a lot better. Obviously, my time, you know, when we came back from Iraq the first time, you know, we had a line of cars and people, you know, escorting us from the airport to our base. You know, so it was kind of crazy that way. So yeah, I'd say we've come a long way. And a lot goes to the work that those veterans have done.
Yeah. And I remember coming back from Afghanistan that there were all these supporters in the Atlanta airport, you know, American flags, banners, signs, all welcoming us back home. And it was just incredible difference from the stories that you hear about from Vietnam. So it was a good thing. I think we had we had it made in that regard. You know, we definitely mm-hmm. were treated well there. So, mm-hmm. so you were talking a little bit about your company, Burn Pit BBQ.
Yeah.
Tell us more about that. Where mm-hmm. what inspired you to start the business and get yeah. out of the corporate world, and why barbecue? Mm-hmm. Why did you go that
sure. route? Yeah. So, I guess I'll start with the barbecue. Why barbecue? You know, part of my transition and part of, you know, what helped me, you know, with maybe some of the stressors of life and things after war, was, you know, barbecue and grilling. That was my safe space. That was my time to, really get away and, you know, be with myself and try new things, you know, experiment and maybe be a little artistic and creative. Sure. So I always kind of gravitated towards that. So as I was building my corporate career, I was also, you know, developing and honing my skills in barbecuing and grilling. And in August of 2020, we were really in the middle of the pandemic. You know, COVID had been around for, you know, a little less than a year, but we were all working from home. And, you know, I was sitting behind a computer for, you know, hours and hours on end. And I was just like, hey, there's got to be something better than this, right? I'd always given away kind of rubs and seasonings for gifts. So like at Christmas and birthdays, I would package my own stuff and I would give it away to friends and family, and, you know, they enjoyed it. And, you know, it kind of got me thinking, well, maybe there's a business here. Maybe there's something I could do. And at that point in August, more people were grilling and barbecuing from home for the first time because they couldn't go to restaurants. They couldn't go out to eat, and they were buying grills and smokers. So I was like, well, maybe there's an opportunity for me to provide recipes and tips for those first time grillers and barbecuers. And then shortly after that, you know, we developed the lineup of all natural rubs and sauces. So that's kind of where it started. It kind of was me, you know, after a decade of being in the corporate world, saying, hey, this isn't for me anymore. It's time to do my own thing. And then also seeing an opportunity that there's an opportunity to help new grillers and barbecuers through our website and through some of our products.
Yeah. And I like that transition, right? Because mm-hmm. I think we all kind of relate to that working from home, not seeing yeah. people, not being able to go to the restaurants and all that kind of yeah. stuff. And yeah, that got old quick, I think, you know, yeah, for a yeah. lot of people. And, you know, you kind of have to, probably for your own sanity, probably have to shake things up a bit. And you know, while it's probably not the easiest time to start a business during the middle of the pandemic, I think you picked the right business anyways, because that you're right. A lot of people were cooking from home for the first time.
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, you know, the first year, you know, went great for us. I did have a lot of those conversations with my wife. You know, I have, you know, three young kids, so I was a, you know, primary breadwinner. Benefits were through me. So, you know, that's a whole nother conversation I could have, but yeah, ultimately, you know, for me, my mental health and, you know, just my outlook, I needed to make a change. And I'd always thought about this business, but I know I would never do it full time if I was still in my old business, like in my career. So it was almost kind of like that burning of the boats moment where I had to do it to kind of bet on myself to try it out. You know, if I fail, well, then I know I can go back and try something different. But yeah, ultimately I was kind of betting on myself that I knew I can make this thing work. But yeah, I mean, I had a lot of time to reflect and sit back, and ultimately, like, there's still a lot of uncertainty, even with my corporate position, that I actually had more certainty when I quit, because I knew the direction I wanted to go and what I could do and what I couldn't do, as opposed to waiting for somebody to tell me what to do.
What advice would you have? I don't know, I'm asking you for a lot of advice here. But, what advice would you have for people who are working in a job that maybe they're happy with it, maybe they're not, but maybe they're looking right. for some change. They have an idea, a vision for a business, and they want to make that transition to becoming an entrepreneur. What advice would you give to them as they're deciding to make that transition?
Yeah. The first thing is, not everybody needs to quit their job and start a business right away. Right. So what, you know, for some people that makes sense. For others, it might be more of a gradual transition to, you know, starting something on the side, and then, you know, hopefully it can replace your full-time income. I know a lot of people are successful doing it that way. Just for me mentally, like I couldn't do that. The number one thing for me, which helped me, was having my financial house in order, you know, on a personal side. So, you know, paying down those debts, you know, having a good, you know, emergency fund or nest egg saved up to be able to pursue something like that. And for me, I kind of use my emergency fund for myself, right? So I, you know, done a good job of planning and preparing where I had some money saved up for kind of an emergency or rainy day. Well, my emergency was that I was miserable. So I took that and invested that into my family and my business. And we used that to kind of seed while I got the business up and running to provide for my personal expenses. So that's number one, is make sure you have your financial house in order if you're thinking of making a move. And then, number two, see what resources are available for startups and small businesses in your area. There's a lot of different ways to do that. And there's a lot of great organizations that help small businesses, like here locally in Wisconsin and Minnesota and Illinois, the Veterans Business Outreach Center. They help with my business plan. They help with, getting awareness and marketing. So there's a lot of free resources out there for veterans to take advantage of. And that's just one that I used.
That's a good resource to mention too. And I'll try to put a link to that in the show notes too, so people who are in that area, they can check that out. But yeah, it's really interesting how you took something that was just a hobby of yours, really, the barbecuing and grilling and everything, how you were just doing that as your own art form, like you're saying. Yeah. It's kind of one of those things that you don't really think of it as an art form, really, the way you think of maybe painting or sculpting or carving woodwork or that kind of thing. But it really is, because just the same way that a combination of paints make certain colors and, create this portrait or whatever, the combination of spices and the heat and everything that goes into the, even down to the cut of the meat that you're using can really affect the meal that you end up having. And so, being able to pay attention to all that stuff and knowing what works with what and how all that comes together is interesting to me, because like I personally found artwork in the form of painting to be kind of therapeutic for me. But when you think about almost unlimited number of different quote unquote art forms that are out there where people are creating things, including meals, right? That's an interesting way to look at it too, you could always be experimenting with that kind of stuff and everyone's got to eat. So, why not eat well, right?
I never gave myself credit for being creative until I sat back and really thought about the journey that we were on. It's, it started with a lot of bad cooks, burnt meals and, terrible tasting food. But then you slowly start to understand the cuts of meat. Like you said, you start to understand what spices mix together well. And then what you like, how you like your food to taste. And over time that's developed and eventually you'll get good at it. Good barbecue comes from a lot of bad barbecue. I never really gave myself credit until I started to think about, I guess this is a way for me to create and experiment, with different types of things, but more kind of focused on food.
Yeah, and especially when that's not your day job, like when you were working in corporate America, there was no expectation that you were able to put together a good meal, right? So being able to do that, that just was, I can imagine that just being your own personal personal time where you were just you and the spices and just experimenting and trying different things and seeing how stuff came out, right? And it just makes sense that you could go down this route and wind up where you are today, right?
Me and my business partner, we actually started a podcast this year called Grilling to Get Away, where we talk about kind of what we do in the backyard and how we do it. So again, another kind of organic thing that I established out of this whole passion for barbecue and grilling is, we take that time to barbecue and grill, to get away from some things, whether that's stress, anxiety, it just gives us time to kind of enjoy the process of cooking and sometimes maybe having a few beers.
Yeah, right. And there's even, I mean, this is probably a big reach on my part, but there's even, you know, the aromatherapy that some people do, right? But I got to imagine the smell of that meat when it hits grill and the spices and everything. I mean, I know sometimes I'm walking through my neighborhood and I hear or smell the neighbor's grills going, and I'm like, man, I wish I was eating there tonight.
Yeah. Same here. I mean, even like, you know, when I get, you know, pick the kids up from school, come back home, and, you know, we'll be smelling the air and be like, we're trying to guess what they're cooking based off of the smell. Yeah.
There's actually a firehouse right behind where there's baseball fields in our town where our kids play baseball. And whenever they have like a night game or practice or something at night on these baseball fields, we sit there and we just start like drooling over the aroma that's coming from the firehouse, because they always have something really good cooking over there. And I don't know why they're doing what they're doing in the fire department, because they can open up a five-star restaurant with just based on the smell alone, I'm sure.
Yeah, we've got a lot of local firemen and firewomen around here that cook pretty well, so they know what they're doing.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's one thing. They know what they're doing in terms of the fire and rescues and all that stuff, but they know how to eat too, I'm sure. So
yeah, sure.
So for people who maybe are first time grillers or barbecuers, they're not sure exactly what kind of equipment they need or what they need to do or anything like that.
Yeah.
Where can they go to find some information about all that stuff through you guys?
Yeah, you can always visit our website. So burnpitbbq.com. We're always putting out recipes and tips on our blog there. But also we share a lot of kind of short blurbs and tips on our Facebook page, burnpitbbq, and then also our Instagram, which is burnpitbbqguys. We're always sharing stuff out there. The biggest tip that I usually give to people who are just starting out is don't throw a lot of money into it right away. Find yourself a cheap grill or smoker to start, maybe a used one, because you can go out to Facebook Marketplace and probably find a bunch of them that people bought and aren't using them anymore. So that's my first kind of tip is, hey, if you're just looking to get started and you don't know if quite, you know, you have a passion for it just yet, you know, don't spend a lot of money right away. And then the same thing, like with the types of cuts of meat that you're going to be using, you know, start easy, start with cheaper cuts of meat, that like the chicken breasts, you know, personal, you know, size steaks, some burgers, hot dogs, just to get used to the temperature of the grill and stuff like that. So you're not, you know, ruining expensive cuts of meat right away. So those are just some of the few tips that, you know, we kind of share a lot of times with people who are just looking to get started.
Yeah. And I know for myself, you know, when I first started cooking on the grill, it was very basic. I didn't know really like what spices or what sauces or anything like that. So it was usually just throw a piece of meat on the grill when I think it's done, I take it off and then sometimes it was overcooked, sometimes it's undercooked. It wasn't exactly the best experience, but you know, over time you do, like you said, you get to kind of get a feel for the temperature of the grill and how long things take and everything. So, so for me anyways, it was probably not the best experience to eat the stuff that I was cooking, but over time it got better.
That's good.
So you also sell the spices and rubs and all that kind of stuff on your website. Is that correct too?
Yeah, we sell on our website. You can also find our rubs and seasonings on Amazon if you like to purchase from there. And then we have a few hot sauces on our website too. So those hot sauces, we partner with veteran organizations and we give a portion back to those organizations. You can find the logo on those hot sauces too. So again, just another way that we try and give back and promote other organizations that are doing good things for vets.
No, that's awesome. And I think that synergy between your company and the other veteran organizations, it just really is a win-win, right? You're getting the stuff that's going to make your food taste good, and you're also doing good things for the veteran community as you go out and do that. So I'll have links to all of the stuff, your social media, your website, and everything. I'll have all that stuff in the show notes for the listeners who want to check out Burn Pit Barbecue and get more information if you're just starting out, trying to figure this stuff out, and or even if you're along the way and you just want some great tasting, you know, rubs, spices, you know, all that kind of stuff that you can add to your existing grilling recipes and everything. You can find all of that stuff, right?
Yeah, I'll say that our stuff is good, whether you're just doing your first cook or you've been doing it for a long time. Our stuff, I think, I'll say that it compares pretty good to some of the best stuff out there on the market.
Yeah, I'm sure it will probably increase the tastiness of just about any meal. So go out there. Not only will you be supporting a veteran-owned business, but you'll be supporting a lot of veteran-owned or veteran and military nonprofits as well through your purchase. So it's a win-win, I think. So definitely go check that out, and we'll be helping people out all along the way, and helping our own families too, having nice meals as well. So well, Greg, it's been a pleasure speaking with you today. Is there anything else that you wanted to share before we wrap this one up?
No, I think we touched on a lot of stuff, but I appreciate, again, the opportunity to be here, Scott, and talk a little bit about my journey and my business. Appreciate what you're doing to bring a light to a lot of what other veterans are doing. So, I enjoyed the conversation and looking forward to seeing the guests that you have on coming up soon.
All right. Awesome. Well, thank you very much, Greg, for joining me. I really do appreciate it, and appreciate all that you're doing for the military and veteran community as well. So thanks again.
Yeah, no, thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Drive On Podcast. If you want to check out more episodes or learn more about the show, you can visit our website, driveonpodcast.com. We're also on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube at Drive On Podcast.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.